Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring the My Ford mobile smartphone app for electric vehicles. The My Ford mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. Learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 68, recorded on Tuesday, July 17th, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. And that's
we're saucing it up.
Nobody else. Just us.
At first, I thought I was going to...
You were coming in hard.
Yeah,
you were coming
in
hard. I was going to kick some butt. Yeah. And I was like, no, you know what? I like you. Let's be friends.
Wow. Yeah. So I didn't know where that was going. And I was this is good. I like surprises.
I thought I missed an email, to be honest.
No.
I was like, I thought we were changing our demeanor.
Right.
No, that's just
tough,
me.
I change on a whim.
Tough.
Yeah, you do. It's hard to keep up.
Well, welcome back, guys. Another week.
And welcome back, Ron.
Thank you. I am back. I survived Comic-Con.
Yes, you did.
Yes. And so did you.
But I didn't work it. I was on vacation.
Yeah. I was working. I worked it.
Yeah, you did.
No, it was fun. It was a blast. It was really cool. And I got to actually, a bunch of people stopped me and thanked me about this show. They said,
really?
Hey, I'll see you on Twitter. You're great. And stuff like that. So anyone who stopped and said hello, thank you for doing that. It was great to meet you. It was great to see so many Android faithful out there. Oh, and nice. I was, no joke, I was literally in a meeting, like in a work meeting, and a dude pulled out a Galaxy Note, and I nearly lost it. I was just like, hey, you've got one. And like,
did you take a picture?
I was trying to, like, because we were, like, trading information. I was like, oh, yeah. And I was trying to, like, load up my camera before he put it away, but I didn't do it in time.
I feel like everybody sees a Galaxy Note. At this point, is a Galaxy Note really a hard thing to find?
Okay, we'll talk about a little bit about Android in the wild. But I also saw a Galaxy Note this morning on my bus ride to work. And I literally just sat there and I went, and I was shocked. And I shouldn't be shocked anymore because I think it's a valid device that millions of people have. And she was doing some sort of, I couldn't tell if it was Words with Friends or some kind of like Scrabble game or whatever. And she just had it up there. She's like,
Had the note and the stylus and was taking notes during our meeting on it.
Oh yeah, this woman did not.
Like it was hardcore.
That's like a Galaxy Note power user.
Yeah, and it was a good meeting. I'll be honest, some good things in motion, things happening. So
yeah,
it was good.
Because of the note. Okay, well, we are going to be talking about Android domination. We're going to give I just made that up. And then we're going to give the Nexus 7 some love. I have a box here. There's something in here. We're going to do a real unboxing.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hope this doesn't backfire on me.
Probably will.
And then there's just a lot more. So let's dig into our news. So, yeah, that Android domination. It's funny that we're doing Android in the wild. It's funny because I posted on G+ that Galaxy Note that I mentioned from this morning, and you can't really tell what it is because it was kind of in an angle, but whatever. I just said, oh, wow. But somebody had posted in the thread, like, why are we even doing this? Because Android's huge. And I'm like, you know what? I half thought that myself. And in fact, Nielsen has a new rating out there where Android is growing faster than Apple. This is a Verge story here. And both companies edge out any competitors. So, yeah, RIM, not so much. Smartphones make up 54.9% of the U.S. market. I feel like I should do flip phones in the wild.
That's really what it should be. I mean, like, it's funny because a friend of mine at the Comic-Con was like, here, let me get your number, and pulls out this flip phone.
And I had
to hold back from going, oh, so how is it in 2003?
We're so snarky about that.
I don't know why. It's being so elitist
with our smartphones.
Yeah.
Android is 51.8% of that pie, and Apple iOS is 34.3%. Both are growing. BlackBerry, 8.1%.
Yeah, dun, dun, the other dun. Guy's not looking good at
Is there
good
like
at all.
A death march we have, Chad? Some sort of death...
some sort of breaking death march?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And if nothing, just fall back on the explosion. That's fine, too.
Yeah, 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 that too. I guess Microsoft combined with Windows Mobile, Windows Phone, dropping 5.8 to 4.3. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if that'll change at all.
Think so.
You don't think so? You don't think anybody's playing Windows?
No, I don't think so. I don't. I mean, you hear good things about Windows and stuff. I don't see people going there. It's kind of, I don't know. Thank you.
All right.
Punctuation.
Man, I feel back on track. Well, I think it's safe to say a 54.6% Android in the wild spottings. I mean, it's at the top,
well, right?
I think you're more likely to see an Android in the wild than any other phone, right?
It's less about Android in the wild and more about the rare Androids.
Okay. It's the new phones. Not the Thunderbolts or the Galaxy S.
It's like, no, hey, guys, I saw an Evo on the subway the other day.
But it's, it's more of that's where it's like the Note. It may not be in that category anymore, but I feel like that's the majority it's still surprising to see one because I think they're so huge.
Because they're so different. But that's refreshing too, right? The Note is doing so well, even though it's so different. Even though when it came out, so many people
hated it. The stylus, why is it so big? We joked about it. Like, it's awfully big for a phone.
The battery's really good, and I like the stylus. I like the S Pen. We're still going to do Android in the wild. You know, I mean, it's just taking a different kind of spin, I think.
It's really interesting, though, because two of my buddies here in San Francisco recently upgraded their phones, and of course, knowing what I do, we talked about and advised, and I gave feedback. And one of them got the HTC One, and
the One X,
whatever, the latest, the hotness. And the other one got the Galaxy, the latest,
the S3.
The S3. So now I'm just like casually watching on the side and going, "How's it working out for you? Do you like that?" Yeah.
And what did they upgrade from?
From Evos.
Oh, okay. They're Android.
They're Android. Okay. Yeah, no, they're both Android. You know, they're familiar, but they were thinking about jumping to iPhone, stuff like that, and so it's interesting to see the one who got the HTC One X, whatever, loves it, thinks it's great. And the one who got the Galaxy, he just got it before I left for Comic-Con, so I haven't got a full download. But I asked him if he's using the gestures, and he's like, "Oh no, I'm not using any of that."
Nobody really uses that.
Yeah, exactly.
I know a few iOS people who have looked at the Galaxy S3 and were very impressed. You know, the screen is gorgeous, and I've had a few people sort of test it out. They're normal iOS users, and they're very, very positive. So it warms my little heart to hear positivity.
He got the Pebble Blue bezel.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
it actually is a very nice phone.
Although I couldn't see because he has it in a case. Again, I don't put cases on my phone. And so, like, I don't like things all around devices, but I guess it protects it. But
We're still doing Android in the wild, and it's a little lopsided, I guess.
It's fun.
We're having fun. We're having fun looking for those Galaxy S3s, the new phone, the Nexus 7. I like to see if more people... That's one I want to keep tabs on.
I'm very curious to see that, absolutely, because it's... I mean, by all accounts, it's going to be a pretty successful tablet. We're going to get to that, a little bit of that in hardware, but it's kind of refreshing to see
how
passionate people are
about this.
I have numerous things to talk about. The Nexus 7 and then also apps. Okay, let me forget.
All right.
Okay. back for more news. Security researcher John Oberheide published analysis of Jelly Bean's security profile and says that Android 4.1 is going to be, quote, pretty difficult to write exploits for. Specifically, Jelly Bean perfected its implementation of ASLR, which stands for Address Space Layout Randomization, which I had no idea what it was, and I still kind of only barely understand. But according to Ars Technica, when this is done properly, what it does is it randomizes memory locations for the library, the heap, the stack, and other OS data structures, thereby making it much more difficult for would-be hackers to know where their payloads are going to be loaded. So I guess before, lots of things were always kind of stored in these different places on Android in very predictable places. And for would-be hackers, it's just a lot easier for them to write exploits when they know exactly where something's going to be. And ASLR when it's rolled out properly, it was first an ice cream sandwich, but I guess the implementation wasn't perfect there. When it's rolled out properly, as it is in Jelly Bean, it actually truly randomizes everything on the phone. And this is something that's been on iOS for, I think, 11 months now. And, you know, I would imagine has improved their security profile as well. So that's kind of another little hidden bonus on Jelly Bean, right, is that your phone just became a little bit more secure.
Jelly Bean is just sounding better and better every time we talk about it,
right? It's like the promised land. I think what's interesting here is that it did roll out in ICS, but now it's better. So, like, it's kind of like, yeah, it's on ICS, but not so good.
ASLR on Ice Cream Sandwich worked. The problem is there were other parts of the OS that weren't addressing this randomization, and now those have been corrected in Jelly Bean. So now it all works in collaboration together.
In the promised land.
Yes, the promised land title.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, unrelated to Jelly Bean, though, but a lot of our speculation around what Google's going to do with the Google Play Store and things like that, and we think it's a natural. We've seen a more prominence for games, but now it looks as if Amazon has beat Google to the punch by launching Game Circle for the Kindle Fire. Game Circle for Kindle Fire has been launched to developers. It's a set of services, including achievements, leaderboards, and sync APIs that developers can integrate into their games to encourage greater interactivity and engagement. Google is reportedly working on this kind of system, and we discussed it back on the show back in May, but Amazon made it there first. Is this going to be enough of a differentiator for Amazon to break through into the whole gaming market? Who knows?
We had your friend, I believe, from getftw.com,
Mark Burstiner
on, and he was kind of attempting to do this very same thing.
And that's the thing. The online gaming space is so complicated when it gets to this kind of sense of leaderboards and achievements and things like that. What Mark and at GetFTW are working on is that it's completely cross-platform.
Right.
And so the idea being that if you're using GetFTW or any of the other game kind of things. I forget what the other one's called, the little green thing that's in the corner.
Open Faint
and stuff like that. The idea being that if you're on an iOS and I'm on Android, we can play and we can play each other and the leaderboards will go up for this. But with Google and Amazon doing it purely on Android, it's still closed. So it's closed just to Android users. Will it be leveraged out to iOS? But that said, you know, like how important are these functionality to gamers? You know, I know I always... Maybe because it's just me, but I never enable it. I never log into it. I
find it more of a nuisance than anything.
Like, but we're not gamers.
Yeah.
Maybe there are gamers out there who live for the leaderboard. And I mean, I know Xbox has it with the whole, you know, like, you know, you can see who has the high score and all that stuff like that. So it's got to be for a reason. And it's interesting to see that they've rolled it out to developers. So we'll see what the developers do with it and then how much support there is for it on the Kindle Fire. And I think, and then I can't imagine Google doesn't do something similar to this. After we hear those rumors.
You take Google supposedly doing this for Android in general. That's a pretty big pie, but you're right. It's not cross-platform. Then you take Amazon doing this for the Kindle Fire and potentially for whatever they have in the oven right now that's working that we're going to hear about in the next.
The Kindle Fire in the oven.
Oh, ha.
Huh? Oh,
I did not even mean to do that.
That was awesome.
No, thank you.
So
you're narrowing that pie even further, you know, for that. So kind of sounds like, yeah, I guess that's okay. I doubt this is going to move Kindle Fires.
Kindle Fires have already been moved to millions of people. So it's gonna be more functionality for Kindle Fire users. So who knows? We'll see. But it's out. So it's launched. Developers have it. So we'll keep an eye on it and see what they come up with in the months to come.
All right. Cool. Have an email here. It's a little bit of a tip from, he says it's pronounced optimism, but it's certainly not spelled like that. Anyways, I just wanted to let you guys know about something that I found. When my wife first went from her BlackBerry phone to a Galaxy S, she would receive push notifications from the Facebook for Android app. But then it stopped. It stopped because I went through her Facebook and deleted permissions that I thought were unnecessary. One of those was the BlackBerry smartphones app because she wasn't on BlackBerry anymore. But as it turns out, this permission was why she received push notifications on her Android phone. Strange, but true. So I finally got around to finding out why when I found this article. And he posts an article on AndroidNZ.net called How to Enable Push Notifications in Facebook for Android. The only problem is the article hasn't been updated for the new Facebook app notification system, so I've changed it and added these instructions. Now, I'm going to include this entire step-by-step process because it's quite a big email, but he went into detail and posted step-by-step on how you actually, it's kind of a funny way to do this. Basically, what you're doing is you're downloading the BlackBerry virtual machine, you're running it, running the Facebook app from the BlackBerry virtualized setup, and syncing your account. And basically what you're doing in doing that is you're telling Facebook, yes, set up push notifications to send to BlackBerry. But what that also does is sends push notifications to your Android device. The weird thing is, why can't you do this from your Android device? Why don't we have true push notifications from Facebook?
We do, because I think in the recent update, because I just had to turn all that off.
Well, I know that we're getting it, but is it refreshing on an interval, or is it actual push notifications?
I don't know, because I thought it was refreshing on an interval. I think it's refreshing on an interval.
And which means that it's pull, which means they're pulling it.
True.
This is true push.
This is
you get an update and Facebook sends it to you.
When it happens immediately.
And I guess that's how it happens by default on BlackBerry.
We're all looking at Facebook right now.
Yeah, it's just weird. I read this and I was like, really? I guess not. But you're right. I get a lot more notifications now with the new update.
Refresh, general settings, refresh interval. Yep.
Exactly. So it's still pull. It's just strange that you couldn't activate push. You can on BlackBerry.
Off.
Yeah.
I don't like push notifications.
Yeah.
I hate push notifications.
I once had to hide my iPad as opposed to turning them off. I was just like, I can't deal with this anymore. I just put it on the shelf.
Because you probably get tons of emails.
Everything pushes. And like when you install something, you're just like, yes. You know what I mean? Like it wants to give you, it bugs you. Like you have to turn on push notifications. And it just is annoying. My whole thing is that I'll turn the notifications I want on. I'm fine with a refresh interval. I don't need real time push.
Right.
I've yet to have something where I need real time push.
Yeah.
That's just me though.
I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I know that there are a lot of people that appreciate and want the push notification. This is totally a way to make it happen. If you're one of those people, check the show notes, twit.tv/AAA. Today's episode is what? I'm suddenly not seeing it. 68. So twit.tv/AAA68. When I have the show posted to that page, down at the very bottom of the related links, you'll see a show notes link. And I'm going to have this in here. In the comments is the entire step-by-step process if this is what you want to do. It's kind of silly that you have to do this in order to activate it if you want. And it's totally possible, obviously, for them to do this. So why not put it into the app? It's kind of weird.
It's a long road to get there.
It is.
Yeah.
But if you really want the push, that's how you get there. Right. So
thanks for the tip.
Thank you for the tip, Optimism, if that is your real name. All right.
I have a feeling it's not.
I don't know.
Hey, you know if he's optimistic.
I'm optimistic.
Yeah.
You know, it might actually be his real name. Let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor for today's episode. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring My Ford mobile smartphone app for electric vehicles. With the My Ford mobile app, you can take advantage of the value charging feature that's powered by Microsoft, and based on your local utilities participation, it allows Ford customers to take advantage of off-peak reduced rates from their utility without a complicated setup process. You can use Go Times to precondition your vehicle's temperature before your departure, and that can help you to conserve battery energy as well. Monitor that charging, get alerts, find charging stations, and plan out your drive. Share and learn smart driving tips in the forums on the MyFord mobile website through that app with gaming features such as leaderboards, unique achievements, and social networking. Also, monitor how far you drive, how much CO2 you save by not using gas. This app does all this stuff. The MyFord mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. The 2012 Ford Focus Electric is available for purchase right now. You can learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology. And we thank you, Ford, for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. Almost said Tech News Today, and I don't even read the ads on that show. I'm just so used to hearing Tom say it. Anyways, All About Android, thanks you, Ford. All right, let's jump right into hardware. So, what you got there?
I have a knife. Right.
No!
Now we're going to have some fun.
I have a knife. No. I have a box. I have a knife. And before we talk about what's in the box, you probably know what it is.
What's in the box?
Tell me what's in the box. Everybody wants to know. Hey, Did you guys know that the Nexus 7 is shipping? The first wave of pre-orders are shipping out
They've been shipped.
They've been shipped. I've got mine right here. It's the Nexus 7 that's inside. And then there were some retailers, some UK retailers and GameStop that have already, like, they're sold out.
Yeah.
And that was weird. So they got them on the shelves and people bought them over the weekend, right?
Yeah, people were buying them early. I mean, they were selling out of these things before Google even announced that they were shipping out or anything.
Yeah, I noticed that.
You know, I posted on Google Plus over the weekend kind of like that. I was angry at Google for, like, not having control over the launch. Obviously, I understand, like, some of the retailers might have taken it upon themselves to do this a little bit early. But I still haven't been able to really figure out through everything that I've been reading online whether it's fallen in the hands of the retailers themselves, that they actually pulled the trigger early, or if Google just kind of mismanaged the launch a little bit. Because a lot of pre-order people still haven't received it.
Right.
But a lot of people that didn't do any of that pre-planning
got it immediately.
Luckily. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was some...
It's kind of a bummer.
I read a post on The Verge, too. Somebody went around the corner.
Yep.
It was Nilay Patel. Then picked up the Nexus 7 himself, and then that store was given a cease and desist or something like that. So confusing situation, but lucky for those of you who got your hands on the Nexus 7 live without having to wait. Now there is an update that Google has told everybody about regarding the shipping situation. So in the U.S.
This just went out.
So in the U.S.
as of
Is it breaking? Chat?
Is this
breaking news?
It was like half hour before the show.
News.
Breaking-ish.
In the U.S., they've shipped.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We had to wake him up there. Thanks, Justin, for talking to Chad. Okay, in the U.S., apparently... Justin Robert Young in the back there. In the U.S., we've shipped... apparently, they've shipped all standalone Nexus 7 8-gig orders. By the end of the day, on July 19th, they will have shipped all standalone 16-gig orders placed through July 11th. And upgraded these orders to overnight shipping. We will process remaining standing alone 16-gig orders by the end of next week with overnight shipping. If you ordered your tablet with a case, charger, Nexus Q, which I didn't, your Nexus 7 will ship this week with overnight shipping. In Canada, it looks like everything is shipped on the 8 gigs, and they're
in the process
of shipping the 16 gigs, and you'll get them within one to two weeks. In the UK, all the Nexus 7, 8 gigs orders will ship by July 20th. 16 gigs through June.
Yeah.
Whoa. 16 gig orders placed through June 30th will ship by July 20th.
Jeez.
The remaining Nexus 7 16 gigabyte order will ship next week. And in Australia, all Nexus 7 8 gigs and 16 gigs will be fulfilled by the end of the day on July 19th. And we'll arrive 3 to 5 days. Wow, it's all different
per
country, right?
It's kind of a bummer.
Fulfillment is hard.
I guess so. And Google's kind of new to this game. So I guess
you give them a little bit of credit there. Amazon's really good at fulfillment.
Yeah, but they have so many things that
they
fulfill.
No, I know, because that's what
they
do.
They've also got a lot of experience.
That's what they do.
They're
a fulfillment company. Google had the same. They had the same problem with the Nexus Ones. Remember? The thing is that Google is not a fulfillment.
Yeah.
It's not a consumer marketing company. I mean, the fact that I imagine Asus is just dropping off a pallet of Nexus 7s at whatever fulfillment solution is, and they're going to stumble. If they're going to start making hardware, the last mile, to quote the Smiths, why is the last mile always the hardest mile? And that's the thing.
That's a really good, apt quote.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it totally applies.
Yeah, because it totally does.
Getting products into the hands of customers is sometimes the hardest part. And when you screw it up, everyone talks about it. And not that they screwed it up, but it's a challenge.
They have messed it up a little bit. A lot of the people that pre-ordered day one, still hasn't been shipped out yet.
Yeah.
And they're being told where they're upgraded to overnight shipping for something that still won't ship for another 3 days. So that's kind of a bummer for those people, especially considering a week ago that, you know, by the time it ships out, a week before that, they could have walked into a store and got one. So it's kind of a bummer for the people that really kind of put their money where their mouth is. from the onset. Those are true passionate Google fans. I think there's two good things about this. One is the Nexus 7 is an awesome tablet. Mm-hmm. So it's going to suck. Awesome. This is going to suck, but you're going to get it. And though you might not completely forgive Google in a mm-hmm. short amount of time, you're still going to have a great tablet and you're going to enjoy using it. You'll probably forget it a little bit. And the other part is the fact that people are so passionately taken to the internet and taken to complaining about this speaks highly about the reputation of this tablet as well. Yeah. And just kind of how in demand it is. That's a good thing for Android.
The amount of love I've read online for the Nexus 7, especially from iOS users, is insane.
Yep.
Like, I have not heard this much positive response to anything hardware-wise in the Android world in I don't know how long.
You know why? Because they got it right.
Thank you. Yes.
They got it right.
Yes.
Everyone I've shown it to is the same thing. iOS, Android, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, after you show them to them, they're like, that's a good device. Yeah. It feels good.
Yeah.
It works well.
Yep.
It's converting me, who was a larger format person. Mm-hmm. Now it's my primary tablet. Mm. It's my, and I'll get to my story after we do all this. But
right.
It's my go-to device. They got it right. So.
Now, apparently, the Nexus 7 is discovered to have a smart cover-like magnetic sensor. iPad mm-hmm. users, they have that smart cover that kind
Which
of
I've
flips
played
over.
Played with my sister has one. She has an iPad too, and we got on the cover,
one.
And I was like, "Ooh!" But so the video here,
the video shows the possibility of having a magnetic smart covers. Would you guys get one?
Is that a Nexus 7 cover you've got there, Jason? Or is that a...
No, this is not a Nexus 7.
Is it a Kindle?
Yeah, it's a Kindle, yeah.
Right, are they making covers for it yet? Or?
I'm just realizing.
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Are you going to do this?
Because I just checked the Dodo Case site to see, but they don't.
That video where he was holding the magnet over
it's
is
over
right,
the bezel.
Is right where these...
Right.
Well, connectors are.
That's the same connectors as on this phone. I mean, right. I don't know what those connectors do.
Well, those are for accessories.
Docks, yeah.
They're for docks and stuff. So that could have something to do with it. Yeah. But yeah.
Hey, yes. What's up? I'm Jason Howell, and I'm here with
what's up, Jason Howell?
Hi.
So that would be interesting. We'll see if we get some smart covers like that.
I'm going to need it.
Oh. Okay. All right. And then we finally have a video that's blowing up right now, and it's about unboxing the Nexus 7 and how difficult it can be. There were numerous reviewers who have done the unboxing on video live, like I'm about to do, because I might as well. And a lot of them had issues. One of them was my own host, Molly Wood, and she really did have issues. Opening. I actually opened the box already and then put it back in and then just pushing it out and opening, kind of taking the lid on the box was still kind of tough.
Let's see what the issue is.
A third of the way in and you start to see all the fumbling and stuff.
And that's my collar stay.
Okay, so let's watch this a little
take
bit.
This out of Z-Box and it's really tight here.
For the life of them, cannot get it open. With whatever they were using.
Go ahead and open this up. Oh, there's another sneaky piece of tape on the side.
Actually, you know what? We'll see if we can just open it without. Let's see if this box is.
See, once you get the tape off, opening that box was difficult for me,
then
too.
This is the reason I don't do unboxings.
This is going to be a good unboxing. I'm really excited about this. Let's see here. Come on.
I need a knife. I don't really need a knife.
That's a hard sticker to open. Jeez.
Man, I did not have this problem.
I didn't have the same problem at all.
It was like really easy for me.
All the people have the same one. We'll see if I have one.
My.
All right, should I do this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so we're going to have our first. Here we go. Let's. Our first.
That is a menacing
one. Oh, there. Our first unboxing. Live on All About Android as Eileen slices open the top of the... Now, you'll notice that we opened it from the shipping box. There's a lot of debate here whether an unboxing is from the shipping box or just the product box. I believe it's the product box, but Chad believes it's the shipping box.
We got a lot of responses on the show that I work on called Always On with Molly, who's in that video. And, a lot of people were like, that's not a true unboxing if you don't take it out of the UPS box. Okay, so I'm doing that right now.
Okay, we're out.
We're out. All right.
All right. So we are out.
Push this.
All right.
Okay. I'm telling you.
Well, okay, wait.
Try and get this out of that box yourself, okay?
Well, wait, 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 wait,
wait. I'm
going
to hurt myself.
Wait, hang on, hang on, wait, wait.
Yeah, don't.
Why is that?
Put the knife.
Wait, no, no, that should just slide out, right? Shouldn't it just slide out?
Slide it out. Wait.
There we go, there we go, there we go, there we go.
All right, here we go. Now, then there's tape.
Right.
Which then I'll cut that.
Yes. I mean, one part of the video is, you know, some of the people that are opening it aren't using knives.
Yeah, you're not using,
knives. Something
well,
sharp.
Well, literally, like tape on a box, on a hardware box, is rare.
You're in a hurry. You're trying to... Oh, this one's coming out a little bit easier.
There you go.
There you go. Hey. There it is. And mine's black on the back.
Yeah, see, that didn't, that wasn't too difficult.
That wasn't too bad. I'm telling you, it was the developer edition.
Yeah,
and I did have a little bit of trouble getting it out of that, out of this.
No, I will admit, when I opened mine, I was like, oh, and they're like, oh, there's tape, and I just got a razor blade. Like, it wasn't a hard
leap.
Yeah,
that part wasn't. Right. It was this. Yeah. It was this that was goofing me up. And then a little bit getting it out of.
Ooh, that's the black back one.
Yeah, it's the black.
All right.
You should tell your story.
Okay, can I tell my story? Can I use it with yours? Because yours is brand new out of order. Okay. All right, so as everyone knows, I'm a big fan of tablets that pass the back pocket test. And so with the Nexus, I will now show you.
You better be.
Lose my lower third. It does indeed pass the back pocket test. There it is. So as I said that I am pro Nexus 7, I'm like, I'm committing to this device. This is going to be my go-to device. I'm going to carry it around because my buddy that works at Google I.O. had it in his back pocket. It was so cool because he's just like, oh, yeah, let me do that for
you. Part of the back pocket club.
And so I was in San Francisco, and I put it in my back pocket, and I walked to BART, and I rode BART to Berkeley because I was going to meet some friends in Berkeley. And I was watching The Good Wife, and I'm like, cool. And then I got off BART and put it in my back pocket. And walked a mile to my friend's house and got inside. And there are other Android tablet users. I said, oh, I've got an Android tablet. And I was showing it off. And it's the developer version that we got at Google I.O. And one of my friends says, oh, that's really cool. But why is it blue? I said, what do you mean? I look at it. And the back of this white thing, the edges, the corners that were up rubbing up against my jeans dyed blue.
That's what you get.
And so the white part of the Nexus 7, it was so I
he
sat
didn't
there.
Bring it. I wanted to see.
It's fixed now. So I sat there for a half an hour with rubbing alcohol and nail polish remover, scrubbing, trying to get it off, and it took me about a half an hour.
And you're like, damn it, I wish I had the black version.
Actually, I did think that. So yeah, so that's why I'm like, maybe I should get a case. I'm very hesitant now to put it in my back pocket now.
Yeah, well, now you know, don't put your tablet in your back pocket. You're just asking for trouble. Be it jeans rubbing off on it or, you know, sitting on it and having it crack.
Yeah, exactly. The knife I could.
Well, no, I know you can't sit on it. That's the thing. But when you're walking around, it was very convenient to just put it through, put it in my back pocket and walk. Like, it didn't get in the way of walking. It was easy. You know, it was nice. It was nice and portable. It was good. But, ooh, it has a different edge, too.
Does it?
Look at that.
What's wrong? What's different with the edge?
Yours is metal. This is look at this.
Let's look at the differences.
Product shot.
Product shot. Can you see? Oh, down.
So if you look here, this is a metallic edge where this is more of a plastic, black plastic edge. This feels like the Nexus 1.
Oh, yeah, it totally does.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Interesting. Subtle differences.
Anything else? Doesn't look like anything else. I was going to charge it.
Sorry. Yeah, charge it.
Does it charge with the computer? I hadn't even tried.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it should.
Yep.
Excellent.
So, cool. Well, while you're charging that, let's move on to the next story here. Sprint. So you may have heard of this last week. So universal search basically is the feature that I guess is kind of being contested in court right now. It's the feature that allows you to search for things, you know, do a search on your device and have it pull back results from not only the web, but also results from your device specifically, like contacts and different apps and stuff like that. Very handy, actually. Extremely handy. The Galaxy S3 on Sprint rolled out a security update, and without really any announcing exactly what was going on there, everybody started to notice that universal search just kind of disappeared, and people started to kind of think that maybe this was a preemptive move in preparation for the changes that the Galaxy Nexus and Apple case are bringing forward around universal search, because Apple kind of has a patent on that, and that's kind of what's in the court right now. If you have a Galaxy S3, or I imagine if you have a future device that suddenly universal search disappears from, there is an APK file that you can use to restore universal search. I wouldn't say that this is necessarily a permanent fix forever. I mean, I don't know how it would be removed again if you're installing it yourself as an APK, but there might be other unintended things that happen down the line if you do this, I guess. Like, it might fall out of compatibility with future versions of Android or something. I'm not sure. But XDA Developers has the link. It'll be in our show notes at twit.tv/AAA68. And, if you've lost that functionality, I would say that's a really useful thing to have.
Yeah.
Anytime you do a search, you know, pulling back information from your device, to suddenly not have that, it's kind of a bummer that they didn't really even warn you of that at all. It would just kind of disappeared. And
seems kind of strange that would be okay.
That they would do that. But
I love how you're setting it up here. Like, so this is great.
Don't show my address. Yeah, sorry. I know, because I haven't been able to turn off the sounds so you can hear the typing. Click, 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 click.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
All right. Well, you set that up, and we'll go ahead and go to another email. How about a little mini Bluetooth thread? Because we talked last week about Bluetooth headset devices not necessarily pulling back the correct search. We got a few kind of varied responses on this. The first one we'll play is a voicemail. It's from Aaron, and he's writing about his own experience with Bluetooth on Android.
Hi, guys. This is Aaron. I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I just wanted to call in relation to the caller from last week's episode who had a complaint about his Bluetooth headset not able to work anytime he uses the mic button on his phone. And I have a Galaxy Nexus, which I'm running Jelly Bean on. And in my car, which is a 2012 Volkswagen Jetta, whenever I link my phone up to my car, it does exactly that. Anytime I go to Google Now or do a voice search or if I'm typing a text and I hit the mic button, whatever I speak is actually going through my car, my Bluetooth. And I tested this by covering up both microphones on the phone, and I was able to speak, and it dictated everything I said perfectly clearly and accurate. So I think what his problem is may be actually a limitation of the Bluetooth headset that he is using and not actually Android. Okay. So that's just my experience and just wanted to share.
Yeah. And it's funny because, I mean, we have Bluetooth in one of our cars, too, and I just don't use it a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And I haven't used it with Google Now, but I definitely have more capability out of it than I did with the headset that I used to test what the caller was or what the emailer was saying last week. We also got an email from Donnie who said, in case nobody else has sent this to you yet, this app lets you choose default voice search to use for Bluetooth. And the app is called Bluetooth Launch. Let's see here. And essentially, Donnie uses this to set Google Voice Search as the default over S Voice on his Samsung phone. So you can essentially use this and say, if I press the Bluetooth button on my Bluetooth device, do this action. I guess it could be anything. Yeah. You could set it to be anything, a launcher of some sort or whatever.
That's what Bluetooth launch, so it makes sense.
Could launch whatever you want it to be. So there are a couple of different kind of perspectives. Might be the Bluetooth headset, in which case that would also explain why the one that I was using to test it, which was a pretty crappy Bluetooth headset, also gave me kind of
and it would be
not so.
The version of Bluetooth that you're connecting to, whether it's in the car or in the headset, that all matters as well. So if you need to.
The type of Bluetooth.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Going back to the Nexus 7 real quick, did you get a system update recently?
I did. I got it earlier this afternoon. Yep.
I got it yesterday.
What was it for again? I'd seen a bunch of people tweeting.
I saw that it was pretty minor.
It was very minor, but it's the fact that it happened.
Yeah, I definitely got that.
I was hoping I didn't have the Transformers, but it's here.
Yeah, everyone
I know, everybody
You also got $25, didn't you?
I did. I kind of already started.
$25 pales in comparison to the Transformers movie, though, because you are going to watch that on a daily basis.
I would pay them $25 forever to not have given that to me.
A different movie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's flashy. Michael Bay style graphics and all that. It's a flashy movie to show off.
Move on to apps.
Let's do it.
Can I go off script? So real quickly, I'll go off script. Remember I had a phantom notification happening that I couldn't find out?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. What
yes,
was it?
I found it.
What app?
The Yahoo Mail app.
Oh, get rid of it.
It was the Yahoo Mail app.
You got to tell Marissa about that.
Which I literally, I know. Yeah, Marissa Meyer. Well, she's too busy looking for baby clothes. The Yahoo,
she's also working full time.
The Yahoo Mail app. I have it. It's my spam account. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, like we all have one right. When I sign up for something that I don't want to do. And in the settings of the app, there is no control over the notifications. So what it is that here's the notifications for Yahoo Mail. Let me go to my product shop.
Get rid of that or use K9 or something.
Well, I use K9 for my mail. But you can choose the sound. Oof. You can have it vibrate and have it show in the status bar. But, and I set it to no sound as opposed to the Yahoo default. It was the Yahoo default. This was the noise I was hearing all the time. And like every couple hours I would hear that. And I was like, what the hell is that? There's no control in the settings for the light. So even though I've turned off all of the settings in the app, the little dot in the Galaxy Nexus, whenever I get a mail from Yahoo, it blinks purple.
Do you have in your app info screen, do you have show notifications deselected there? This?
Where's that?
Here, I'll show it on this screen here. So if you go into your settings,
yeah.
Settings, this is the new feature of Jelly Bean that you can turn off notifications on an app-by-app basis. Go into your app and then navigate to that particular app in your apps and settings. Okay. You should have a show notifications box. If that is checked, deselect that. And it's just
because what I thought was interesting is that within the Yahoo Mail app, I was able to turn off the sound. Let's see.
I'm not getting that.
I don't have it.
That is weird. It's not showing on that.
Yeah, I don't have it.
What is up with the Yahoo Mail app? Now you were.
Oh,
I'm
not on Jelly Bean yet. That's why this isn't my freebie. This is my old one.
Okay, then there you go.
I didn't get the system update yet. There you go.
Oh, and and you haven't manually put that on.
I haven't manually put it on.
Well, when Jelly Bean comes, you're going to love it even more.
Yeah, awesome. Great. Okay, so. But anyway, so that the mystery was solved, and how I figured it out was I was signing up for a site that I didn't care about, and I put that as my I hit submit, and then it went off, and I was like,
that's
and then
the
I saw
one.
The purple light. I was like, wait a minute.
Purple.
It was
Yahoo
purple.
Mail.
Yeah, so there you go. So.
Well, last week we talked about a botnet that many believe might be pointing right back to that Yahoo Mail app.
Ooh, should I get rid of it?
So I don't know. I'm just saying. You know, you take what you will from that.
Yeah. All right. Well, on back to the spec to get back on script.
Yes. That was app related.
Yeah. Anybody like XBMC?
I really did not know what it was when I saw this story blowing up, and I've learned a little bit about it since.
I was a fan of XBMC back when I was using Boxy as my main TV delivery device, me being a cord cutter. I hacked an Apple TV, loaded Boxy, and Boxy actually runs on top of XBMC, which is Xbox Media Center. And basically, it's kind of like this open source media center that you can install on top of an Xbox. That's where it started from. But it has grown tendrils and it has reached out to other technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting is that XBMC for Android has been announced with the same core features as all the desktop versions. So if you're an Xbox Media Center avid user and you like to use the Android, like a hipster, now you can. So
do you use the Android, Ron?
So it's been ported to Android already. And folks have taken the APK and the port and smartly, which I might actually do this, they have it running on the Nexus Q.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating. So if you're looking for some sort of media center device application, it's great for managing your video library, photos, any sort of media. XBMC is a pretty cool platform,
mm-hmm.
And it hasn't previously been available on the Android side of things. So it's going to have the same functions as the desktop version. Currently, due to the lack of universal hardware decoding, video playback relies on software acceleration. So that's something important to note if you're going to use it for video. The source code is out right now. A beta is expected to be in a few weeks. There's no official release date yet, but they've got it working on the Pivos XiOS DS set-top box, which is an Android power set-top box. And Pivos is an official sponsor, and it's capable of hardware-accelerated playback. And the XBMC folks expect new skins for smaller devices because you can skin it, all that sort of stuff.
Right, right.
But I don't know what the Nexus Q's hardware acceleration abilities are, but probably because it's running video from Google Play, it should be able to do it. And I believe we have video or a picture of it running on Nexus Q. I don't know if we can look at that.
Yeah, the Android Police link has it running. And you know, it's also meant for, I think, a touch.
Yeah, so it's just a photo. It's not video, but...
Or rather, it's meant for kind of directional pad navigation. So maybe as they kind of tweak this more, you know, they'll get it so that it maybe has more of a fluid experience.
But that said, this might be my summer project.
Yeah, it's kind of a good front end. I really knew very little about XBMC before this started to kind of blow up. The more I've been reading about it and seeing
XBMC is pretty cool. I will admit it's pretty cool. I was at my friend's house and he was showing me his whole media center thing. He's using Plex, and Plex is an Android powered media center. And he was actually using Plex on a Mac Mini kind of environment. And I showed him. I pulled up my phone and I was able to connect to his Plex and use it there. I mean, the media center stuff is so much fun and it's so cool when you get it working, especially if you have a lot of media on. You have the files for you, have them local. You're not streaming a lot. It's a great solution. So yeah, you should play with it. I think you'd dig it.
Cool. I mean, at some point I have to find more and more use for my Nexus Q.
Rooting
and putting something on this might be the way to go.
On the way into the show, I was talking to Eileen and I drove in. I was saying, you're using your Nexus Q? Like, I was like, should I sell it? Really? Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I literally don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So other than play bocce with it. But but this could be a cool project.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Cool.
All right. Also in app world, you know, the Olympics are coming up. I'm a big Olympics fan. I usually like the Winter Olympics better than the summer, but summer I get into it as well. And NBC is not lagging this time because, you know, if you live in a different time zone, wherever the Olympics is being held, like I remember when it was in China, oh my Lord.
You could get up at 5 a.m.
Well, or you just know what happens because it's just spoiled for you.
Yeah.
Whoa, what's happening here? Okay, there is two apps coming out for Android 2.0 and up, except for I know it won't work with the Nexus 7 because I just checked. I just downloaded the NBC Olympics app and the NBC, what you really want is the Live app, the NBC Olympics Live Extra.
Cool.
I just downloaded it and I don't know if this is pre-Olympics games or what, but I am looking at some footage happening on my phone right now. Looks like this is the Beijing U.S. Oh, interesting. Sorry. What is this? This is probably old stuff. Okay, so this is the old.
They haven't started yet.
No,
right?
I know, but maybe there was like
a trial or something.
Yeah. So they're streaming some stuff right now on the app itself, and then eventually there will be live events. Now, the thing about it, though, is that you do need to put in your valid cable and satellite subscription, so it's not necessarily for cord cutters. Is going to be over 3,500. Yeah, it's a companion app. So like HBO Go, you put in your credentials, your DirecTV or Dish or whatever credentials, and then you'll get access. And then this is being pumped, or it's using Adobe Air to get this the stream to you. For those of you who don't have cable cord cutters, there is the basic NBC Olympics app that does on-demand stuff after the fact, some news and some schedules and whatnot. But this NBC Olympics Live Extra is the one that you want if you have cable. And then it's just streaming now. And you could favorite stuff. As you could see here on my phone, there's nothing going on live, obviously, but then there's some related. There's a related tab, and there's channels. I'm assuming there's going to be tons and tons of channels.
So they'll be streaming all of the events concurrently, and you can just
select between them. Yeah, you just choose between. Cool. It looks like that. We'll find out more when the Olympics actually starts, but that's great that they're finally moving in, and we can watch things live instead of getting spoiled or just saying, oh, I'm not going to look at Twitter. I'm not going to look at anything.
I'm opting out this year.
You're not. Aren't you an Olympics person?
No, not really. I'm not a big summer Olympics fan.
Are you winter?
Sometimes I have fun with it, but I did the Euro Cup in June, and that was exhausting. So I can't do.
All right. Well,
and during the Euro Cup, that's when I almost threw my phone at the window because I was stuck in traffic. when the BART shut down a couple weeks ago, and I was missing the soccer game, and I was stuck in traffic in a car. So I downloaded the Watch ESPN app because I watched the games on ESPN3 because I'm a cord cutter. Mm-hmm. And the Watch ESPN app is only for Verizon and some other cable provider use, even though ESPN3 works with Comcast. The dang app wouldn't work for me, and I was so angry because I couldn't watch it because they were streaming it live. So
no. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's hard being an early adopter.
It really is.
Well, we appreciate your hard work.
There are signs that, you know, things are starting to change and things are becoming more on demand than not. So, yeah, you're right. You're just early.
I'm an early adopter.
If you want to catch more of those signs of things to change in the world of cord cutting, check out Framerate, twit.tv/FR.
Great show.
Nice promo.
Yeah, hey, you know.
That was well done.
Speaking of Verizon, you mentioned Verizon, even if in passing. Verizon Wireless is introducing GameTanium. Now, this is, I will admit, this isn't the biggest news in the world. This is not the biggest news in the world of Android. But I did think it was kind of funny. I thought it was discussion worthy, this idea of, so here's what they're doing. They're offering a service where they offer more than 100 of the best, as they say, Android smartphone games and more than 50 tablet games for a monthly fee of $5.99 per device. Is this, I don't know what to think about. Like, I know for me, I would never pay that for a monthly access to apps. Apps and games are already so low cost to begin
with. That's what
I think. Yeah. I did a game subscription service on the PC years ago. It was GameTap or whatever it was. And it was one of the, it's like a Steam-like kind of platform. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I never played it. And I killed it after like 2 months. If you're a gamer, that's the thing. Like, going back to the Amazon game thing. If you're a gamer, maybe this is great. So getting, so let's say there are 100 smartphone games and 50, so it's 150 games. What's the average price of a game that you buy when you're a big gamer, a phone gamer? What are they? Are they 99 cents? Are
99
they,
yeah, a lot to of like $2.99.
So let's say let's do the math. So let's say they're 99 cents each on the low end, and say $1. That's $150 worth of games that you're getting for just $6 a month. Can you get through 150 games in 1 month?
No.
You know what I mean? Like that.
Probably
I mean,
not.
Well, and that's kind of what I thought when I read this too. Is like so many times I'll drop 99 cents, $1.99 for a game, and I'll really only play it, you know, a handful of times, and then I don't ever really touch it again.
But so this is the, so if they continue to add games, all you're doing is paying $6 a month, and you could try that game and walk away.
So it's not.
So you know what you should do is you should go back to your receipts and add up how much you spent on games in a month. And if you spent more than $6, this is a better deal for you.
However, they have to have the same games that you bought
or
in the game, past,
or
too.
Games of equal interest.
Right.
Or,
So, yeah, the jury's kind of still out on this. I wanted to hate it immediately when I first saw it. I was like, are you kidding? Plus, that's such a ripoff. But then at the same time, like when you talk about mobile gaming, yeah, exactly. A lot of times those games don't have lasting power. You play it a little bit, and then you're kind of over the concept. And
but
you
then
move
there
on.
Are services like OnLive that actually gives you console gaming. OnLive, is very cool. It's there is an app for Android right now, and you can get some really cool console gaming games and play them on your Android device. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, and it's a subscription kind of thing. And to me, that's the kind of thing that I would pay for.
Yeah, totally.
If you're a gamer, not an app, you know, I want the games if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know,
for some reason, whenever I look at the stuff Verizon does, I feel like Verizon customers are in, it's like an AOL-esque walled garden kind of thing. Because Verizon is much more aggressive than AT&T or T-Mobile or any of the carriers, at least here in the States. I can't speak internationally, but they do. They have media, movies, TVs, like they Verizon this, so it's not surprising to me that they're doing this because they try to provide. Verizon wants to be the only source of anything you need for your phones,
sure,
which I think is a little short-sighted, but so I'm not shocked that they're doing this. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. So,
yeah, I'd imagine it'll go about as good as their other, you know, VZW,
VZ
Navigate,
whatever.
You know, there are other things that are just kind of like they're on your phone when you get it, and who knows who signs up for it? Somebody does, but not many.
So. All right. We have a voicemail, and it is an app recommendation, and we're not sure if it's Ted, Ed, or Zed.
Let's go Zed.
Yeah. We like Zed. Z-E-D. All right. Let's listen to what he has to say.
Hey, AAA crew. It's Ted, and I was calling to say thanks for the coverage of Zombie Run. That seemed like a really fun thing. And it kind of reminded me of another app that I know of that takes kind of a fun way to do something that could be generally pretty boring. There's this pirate-themed app that helps you find where you parked your car, and so, of course, it is called Tar Mapy. And it's really fun, and I don't know if a lot of people know about it, but I use it to, because I have a terrible memory about where I park, and I can even use it to sort of, like, my wife and I share a car, so we can send one another the location of the car and not have to worry about it, and it's got a great UI and is a really fun way to do something that could be pretty boring. So if you get a chance, check it out. I think it's a lot of fun. All right, bye.
Car.
I thought this was pretty hilarious.
That's pretty cool. That's funny.
It has a drop anchor, so wherever you are, you hit the drop anchor button.
That's a great idea.
And it puts your pirate ship on the map, the Google map. And
now, what's cool about that is that it's a good idea, and they make it fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
Like that. That's clever.
The fact that you can share between a couple of people.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the last time I needed to tell someone where my car was, but I could see that. I mean, I guess. I mean, that whole Seinfeld episode would have been very short.
Yeah. Very true.
I got the system update on the Nexus 7. Should I do this before the
arena?
You
should totally do it.
Right before the arena?
No.
Is it going to take forever?
Well, it could. Yeah. Actually, wait a minute. Well, that depends on where you are in the arena.
In the arena.
Yeah, I don't know.
You guys are going to talk
for a while. Just hit do it. Yeah, it'll be fine.
All right,
install now.
All right. So,
I was going to show off my app on the Nexus 7. I might not anymore.
We'll see. This could be a failed update.
It could be.
I have a feeling it's going to go okay, though. It's awesome. Just, does it get done in time? We'll see.
Live unboxing, live system update. Doing it all today
on this show.
This
is all in an attempt to keep you watching because we are about to step into the arena.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
So you may remember last week, there was a fourth person presenting in the arena. That fourth person would be none other than our technical director of the show, Chad Johnson.
Look at Chad.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Should we look at the results?
We should look at the results. I think they're pretty snappy for you here. Zombies run at 48%.
Wow. Thank you guys for voting.
I like how TechAce01 in the chat room puts Chad win under the guest column. So, aww. Chad, you're not on your own yet.
Well, that means that I have more points, right? So,
I'm
in the guest column.
You're part of the cumulative pool.
Yeah, I have all those points, right? Yeah.
The standings are guests are at 5, I'm at 6, Eileen is at 7, and Jason's at 8.
Wow, it's pretty even run all across the board. Zombies run 48%. Second place, Gyro, at 31%. Or Hero. Or Euro. It was one
like
of those.
Gyroscope.
Yeah.
Third place, let's see. Oh, it was really close between Bounce and Dead Trigger. But Dead Trigger did eke it out by one percentage point. 11% for Dead Trigger. Fourth place with Bounce. We've had a few conversations over the past, I don't know, 3-4 weeks about just kind of the approach of the arena
the demeanor of the arena.
The demeanor of the arena. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. We realize over the course of this show that the arena is a big kind of signature of the show. It's something that we do that a lot of other Android shows aren't doing necessarily, that we're pitting these apps, you know, against each other. One thing we want to try and avoid is making this a competition between ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, the thing that really matters in the arena is the app and is the efforts of the developer and what they do to make these apps so great. So I think what we've been talking about, and I'm not sure exactly how we're going to execute this, but going forward, these arenas, we want them to be more focused on the apps.
Yeah, I mean,
and not necessarily on the person presenting the app.
Exactly.
And we've gotten a little competitive and fun, but it's all been in fun. It's all been in positivity. I adore these guys. Hopefully they adore me. I don't know.
I think we can still fight for our apps. Yeah. I'm not saying that we're getting rid of the competition aspect necessarily, but ultimately when it comes down to it, if I lose, that means that the developer that created my app actually lost the competition. We know some people like to side with one person or another, regardless of what the app is. And I guess what we're asking for is that you vote for the app. Don't vote for the person, because I think that's really what we're trying to represent here, is what is your favorite app, not who do you want to win.
Right.
Anyways,
but that said, vote for me.
Oh, okay. So all right, great.
No, I'm kidding.
All right. Well, speaking of, so Ron, you are up first. So give us a reason to vote for your app.
Well, this is an app that actually I talked about on App Judgment over on Revision 3 for like – Mauricio only let me do like a 1 minute thing, and it's a really cool app, and I've been dying to show it on here because I think it really encompasses a lot of things that we look for, at least in the arena, in terms of the apps that are worth noting. The app is called Alarm Clock or Alarm Clock Ultra. I'm using the free version, but there's a $2.99 version, so technically the one I'm using is Alarm Clock Ultra Free, and it's an alarm clock. Simple as that, but it's really well designed and it's really kind of cool. What it is, the design isn't necessarily using the standard kind of ice cream sandwich, but it's very almost iOS-y in terms of its look and feel. Here you see the clock. You know, right now it's 6:16 on Tuesday, July 17th. It gives me the battery life of my phone. I can kind of control the brightness from here, so I can turn the brightness down on it. I'll turn this back up because that probably makes sense to – except now it doesn't. We'll do that. All right, cool. So it's a clock. It's also an alarm clock. So I can set an alarm, and this is where it gets cool. So I'm going to set it for 6:18 so I can vamp a little, and we'll see the alarm go off in 2 minutes. So bear with me for 2 minutes. And you can change whether it has a random sound, or you can select a specific sound. So you can do the sound type thing. You can change the sound from – they've got a bunch of different options. You can hear them. If I turn this up. Yeah.
So, I like that dancing. What were we doing there?
That was Bavarian Mountains. A little like jazz. So it's got, you know, depending on what you want, it's got a traditional alarm clock, which should work. There you go. So anything, you know, they got a bunch of different things. Slap the bass for you Paul Rudd fans.
Slapping the bass.
Oh, yeah, slapping the bass.
Slapping the bass.
So you can set the alarm sound. And then what's interesting, you can set the volume. So you've got a lot of controls over what you can do with the alarm. But then what's interesting is that to dismiss the alarm or to turn it off, sorry, we're a little fuzzy there. We're out of focus. But to dismiss the alarm, you can set it to shake the phone. So if you want to just shake your phone, it will dismiss it. Or you can have it give you a puzzle to solve or a math problem. So in this particular case, I'm going to choose puzzle to dismiss. Right. And then also what you can do is in order to set the snooze settings, so if you're like me, your snooze alarm, I like to hit the snooze and extend. You can disable snooze. You can set to shake to snooze, or you can make you solve a puzzle or do a math problem as well. And you can also set the duration of the snooze, also the limit of times you can do it. So it's amazing to see the amount of thought they put into the idea of alarms. If you're doing the math problem, you can set the difficulty level from easy to medium to hard, and the number of times, the number of correct math problems you need to do, whether you want to do one problem or three problems. So it's crazy. I used to call one of my friends in high school. I used to drive him to school, and I would call him to tell him I was leaving, and he was very slow in the morning. So I'd call him, and he'd say hello, and I'd say 6 times 7. And he wouldn't be able to do it because when you wake up, it's hard to do math. So I thought that's kind of clever that they integrated it. So I'm going to reset this to 6:20. So we'll see it go off. So I'm going to hit save. So now the alarm is set. I get a little notification along the top that says there's a new alarm set. And while we're waiting for the alarm to go off in a minute, I'll show you some of the other things. You can do a quick sleep function. So you can say, let me sleep for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, or 2 hours. It's also got a stopwatch, which just looks really cool. You know, so a standard stopwatch kind of functionality. It has got, go back over here, a timer. So you can do a countdown timer if you need to. All right. Nope. So I just got a text message. Ignore that. And then it's also, oddly enough, and I don't think. Yep. All right. So there the alarm went off. And here I said I had to solve the puzzle to turn it off. So. This says
that's actually really cool.
It says click all the red balls. So if I hit blue, red, it doesn't work. But I got a red, and now I can cancel it. Right? Pretty cool. So let me set another one for.
Oh, that's cool. I like.
Let me set another one for the math problem. So I'll go to 6:22, and we'll set it to solve math to dismiss, and we'll set it to be 2 problems. And I'm smart, so let's make it medium. All right. So while we're waiting for that to go off, all right, that will go off in a couple of minutes. It's also got, oddly enough, an egg timer, which I never really thought that this is something that you would need, but you can choose how...
Ooh, there are apps just alone for egg timers.
But it's got an egg timer in here. Yeah, no, so I can have soft or medium. I'm going to turn the volume up. Medium, or I can change the egg size to large or extra large, and it will tell you how long you need it to sit.
I'm going to get this app.
It's pretty cool, right? And this is totally free. So it's also got a bunch of other, you can change the background.
Is there an ad, though?
There are different themes. Yeah, there is an ad, but you can, for $2.99, you get it without the ad.
Oh, $2.99.
You can change the notification icon if you want to change what the icon looks like. They've got a couple of different things. So it's got a lot of different specific functionality. There's night mode, which prevents the phone from automatically going to standby mode, so time will consistently be displayed on your phone, so it truly is an alarm clock. There's vacation mode, where it will turn off your repeating alarm. So if you have an alarm every day for a meeting, but you're on vacation, it'll turn that off. It has a flashlight. You can double tap the phone and it will turn on the flashlight. So it's got a lot of really cool kind of settings here. But alone, the math problem solve a puzzle just cracks me up. I mean, here we go. So now this alarm went off. And so now it's asking me to add 31 plus 4. So this is a medium problem, so that's 35.
I love this song.
Submit it. And now it's notice I still can't hit dismiss because I got to solve more than one problem. So 69 plus 5.
Oh, I would probably throw the phone 74. At this point.
Submit. And now that I solved it, now I can dismiss the alarm and dismiss it. So
I
suppose you're awake at that point. So Alarm Clock Ultra. It truly is the ultra alarm clock. If you have a hard time waking up and you need something to make you think, it's totally free. Check it out. If you like it, buy the $2.99 version, and that will get you no ads. And they say it's the only alarm clock you ever need. And, you know, I'm kind of agreed. I kind of agree with it.
Do not install this app on your SD card, as the app will not work correctly.
Ooh. Oh.
Also ensure your... Okay, no. Well, I put it on my Nexus 7.
I didn't get that. I don't remember that, but...
Why would you even get that on a Nexus 7? Oh, it looks nice on the Nexus
7.
Yeah,
see?
Look at that. Oh, see, I'm pimp. I'm using your app.
So, of course, be careful. You might want to do damage to your phone when you're trying to turn off the damn samba music, and you can't do that.
I don't know if I'd be very patient with that.
The green balls, and it changes the color of the balls in the puzzle. It's cool. It's a cool thing. But hey, I am a user of Countdown. I always have a Countdown timer for sometimes I'm doing podcasts like that. I only have 10 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
I go running. It's great for my kind of stopwatch. I might boil eggs someday. I don't know. I'm not a big egg guy, but now I have an egg timer, so I can.
Now that you can time an egg, maybe you'll boil more.
Maybe that's just what was holding me back. Yep. So
you just didn't know.
Alarm Clock Ultra, check it out.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Do check that out.
It's a good one, right?
And enjoy the app.
This one. That's great. This is one I might use.
Excellent. So that was fantastic.
More stuff for me to play with while you guys talk.
That's right. You're just all into the Nexus 7.
Yay, this one's mine. I get to keep it.
This is what happens when you finally open your Nexus 7
on the
show.
It really is. It's love. It's straight up love. I love my Nexus 7.
Well, you're going to get to play with it here in a little bit, but not before a few more app reviews.
That's true.
So mine is actually a great app for you to load on your Nexus 7 because it's optimized for the Nexus 7.
I'm so excited for apps.
It
on
is
my
called
Nexus 7.
Markers. And I bet you can't guess what it is. It's a drawing app. The cool thing about this app is, one thing
I
like
just
about
draw that?
I drew it earlier today.
Whoa, wow, so that's pretty good.
One thing I like about this app is that it's kind of like. It's kind of like draw something without the social pressure.
Right, you just draw, right?
Yeah, just so you just sit down and you draw. You don't have, feel like you have to draw any particular thing. But it's cool because the more you use it, the more you kind of get sucked into the world. So what you see here is the interface. It's as simple as this. The colors down the bottom, the different size brushes on the side. You've got four different types of brush. So I've got a hard point right now. I could do a soft point. It's hard to see on the video. I could do a slanted point. You can also put transparency in, and it saves out, I believe, as a PNG file, so you can layer it over the top of things.
Oh,
and then this button up here, this marker, if I hit that, that gives you your full real estate, screen real estate. And as you can see down at the bottom, it kind of says all about Android for no reason whatsoever other than that's the show that we're doing. But if I want to tie this in, to today's show, I'll go ahead and hit red, put that on, and maybe this is Chad right here. And I'll go ahead and give him red hair.
I think so. Purple. That's actually a really good color. That matches really well.
Yeah, and little wavies.
I'm mad.
Waves.
Oh.
You know.
That's really like good. That.
Something like that. So, yeah, it's the cool thing about this is its pressure sensitivity. So if you touch lightly with your finger, you'll get little dots. If you push hard with your finger, it detects how much of your finger is actually touching the screen, and it makes the pinpoints do just that. I'll go ahead and erase it up here. Scrap that. See, it's gone. And then if I just touch, it's small. If I put my finger down really hard, it gets larger. And what you end up getting is this, like, kind of artistic looking swipes, depending on what you're doing. Pretty cool stuff if you are an artiste like I am. Not really. You can load an image if you wanted to. You could go in here and, you know, load an image of sidewalk chalk, I guess, and then you could draw over the top of it. What I would love to be able to do is then, you know, is like trace this and then remove the image and only have my tracing of it. That would be pretty sweet. And then, of course, you can do the things like share it and stuff. That's really it. Markers is it has multi-touch capability. It's really good for kids, actually, because everything, all of your options are on screen. So it's very easy to, you know, not have something hidden. It's not overly complicated as far as drawing software goes. And it's edge to edge for the most part. When you go into this screen, the only thing that's, well, I mean, you still have your top and bottom, but, you know, it allows you to use the entire screen real estate. And it's just kind of very smooth on how it does it. And as I said, it's optimized for Nexus 7. That doesn't mean that it only works on Nexus 7. So you're getting the hang of it.
Oh,
see?
Yeah, look.
Isn't that cool. pretty? I'll go ahead and show off my other masterpiece.
Yeah, you should show yours. It's
a little Android. It's kind of hard to see here.
You are really good at this.
He's listening.
There?
He's using his phone to listen to All About Android. That means. So, and then you'll notice he's got a little Apple symbol on his chest, right? Too, because that's kind of the guy I have on my laptop. Anyway, so it's called Markers. It's really cool. If you go to Android Central, they have this kind of contest going with Markers and people using it. And it's just, you know, it's kind of like I said, like draw something. You can do a lot of really cool stuff with it. The cool thing is you get to save them, right? On draw something, you don't get to save them. You lose them. So there's no real pressure here, and it's pretty easy. It's just very straightforward. And I don't know. I find myself doodling on it a lot because it's there.
Cool.
So if you got a Nexus 7, this is a great app to really get you using it a lot more. That is called Markers.
Cool.
And that's
that
it.
That is a cool app. I dig it.
We are, wow, I can't believe Chad's last because he won. So we're going to go to Eileen. Eileen, you are up next.
I'm just having fun playing with my Nexus 7.
You're loading all the apps that we're talking about.
I just loaded all the apps that everyone's talking about because it can be loaded on the Nexus 7. All right. Well, I have not been playing with a lot of apps lately. So this is an older app that I actually use myself. Those of you out there, predominantly women, might be using a service called Pinterest. Yes. Mm. You may have heard of that. There is no Pinterest app. I'm not going there.
Yet.
But there is an app that, and there is a service that I actually used long before I ever used Pinterest, and it's actually called Fancy. Fancy, I believe this company is out of the UK. So, you know, fancy that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I fancy that.
Sure, that's what they meant.
I know. This is really, really jelly. Okay, I got Justin to laugh. So someone laughed here. All right. So the app itself is very much like Pinterest in the way that you see a bunch of items, you follow some people, and you either like it and then you have it on your own account. You create an account. You could do it via Twitter, via Facebook, or you just create a fancy account. I've actually had this account, again, longer than I've ever had a Pinterest account. And what I do think that Fancy has in its advantage, other than the fact that you can actually purchase items that you see. Now, you may not want to purchase this watch for $13,000, and they're not all that expensive. What I think Fancy is, it's a little more gender biased or gender balanced. Sorry, not gender biased. Gender balanced.
I want a gender biased app. Can we do that?
I think there are more items that at least launch on the homepage of Fancy that are more appealing and more neutral.
Yeah, gender neutral.
There you go, gender neutral. I like
that. Because Pinterest is for chicks.
Kind of, yeah. I would say predominantly yes.
I said that once on Twitter. Somebody said, are you on Pinterest? And I said, no, I'm a dude. And like, I got so much hate response.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
you did.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So essentially, you have your account, and you could just like things, or as you call them on this, fancy. Oh, I really like this trench coat. Fancy.
And then you have, you know, your list that you could go back and look at. And really, that's all it is. Now, again, this is different from Pinterest because you can actually purchase stuff. There's a lot of retailers, indie retailers that come on here, and, you know, they have their stuff that you could purchase online. I actually bought green tea Kit Kats from Fancy, believe it or not. And then a lot of these retailers, once you sign up and have an account, will send you like a little discount. So Think Geek is on here as well, and they sent me like a 10-15% discount just for looking at their store through Fancy, which I thought was very cool. I actually really like the technology section on here. You could browse on by category, and I actually look in here quite a bit. I really hope to see some where am I on here? Wait a minute now. I've been looking here for a really cool laptop case and things like that. So I've been... Oh, gadgets. Here we go. Gadgets. And I think you'll find that a lot of the items in here... Oh, an HDMI pocket projector. Ooh. Does anybody want that?
How much is that?
$299.
That's a lot of money.
I know. But
Nexus
maybe
Q or pocket
stuff.
Projector?
let's see here. Ooh, fingerprint recognizing. What the heck is this? There's lots of things that I've never seen.
A fingerprint recognizing coffee maker?
Espresso machine. Insane. Now, there's some ridiculous items on here as well as some fun
items. It's like a fancy Sky Mall.
Yeah.
It is a fancy kind of Sky Mall.
I dig it. It's cool.
I like Sky Mall.
Yeah.
It keeps me entertained. And you probably could find a Bigfoot statue on Fancy itself and purchase it yourself. But, you know, if... I just like to kind of gaze and look at all the different items on here. And the app is really well featured and looks really nice, especially. This is the first time I've seen it on a Nexus 7.
This is nice. The transitions are really nice.
Yeah. Look at, do you want these shoes? Wingtip shoes? How about the beige suit jacket, guys?
Wow, that'd be
just
nice.
You know, you can actually, what is this? Lion's Head, Mountain Head, Cape Town.
That's
book
a trip.
Now. You can book now
book
if
a
you
hotel.
Really want. Yeah, you can book a hotel here. Sunglasses. I don't know. There's just lots of different items on here. I like to kind of browse. I've only bought one thing, and the transaction was very, very good. And it went through Amazon, believe it or not. So safe, secure. And yeah, I see. Are you looking?
Yeah, I'm looking.
Yeah, there's some interesting things in here on Fancy. And it's free. It's all free. And then you can decide to purchase if you want, or just like things, and then, you know, your account.
I'm sorry, my head was totally in the shot.
That's
sorry.
Okay. So then my
it showed that you were very interested, right?
I know. I was engaged.
I fancied this Tom Selleck warm face cover. I thought that was kind of interesting here. Just funny, awesome. Funny stuff. Oh, and then there was some. I just get myself in all kinds of trouble on this show. I like these. You suck at parking. Parking cards that you could put on people's. Cars if they are really bad at parking. But I never bought that. So at least not yet.
Why can't we have praising cards?
They're like, probably good, praising
good
cards.
Good parking job. Yeah.
That would be really nice. Yeah. Yeah. But usually, yeah.
I've been inspired by the newsroom.
Oh, I see.
He's on a mission for
electronic
civility.
Electronic dice. I'd really like to go to the Maldives.
I'd like that.
Oh, look
Porsche.
At that. Porsche.
Jeez, how much
Porsche
is that?
Porsche is hot. Well, now some of them
that's Dylan
are
McKay's
not available
car.
Online. Dylan McKay. Oh, from
90210. That's the same kind of Porsche you drove.
All right. Well, that's Fancy in a nutshell for you. You can follow people on there. I'm Eileen TV if you so choose to start an account and have fun with it if you're like me and you like to do a little bit of online shopping. That's what I do.
That was Fancy.
Thank
fancy.
You, Jason. Fancy.
Wow. So
oh,
Chad,
let's hear from
you're
Chad.
Gonna have to follow up Fancy.
Okay, this is Chad's first arena with me at the table.
It is.
So it's gonna get a little saucy.
It's gonna get. Well, I have a question for you.
Of me?
Yeah. What's your most favorite thing in the world?
What's my most favorite thing in the world?
Yeah, I'm going to answer it for you. It's junk mail, isn't it?
Oh, you know, we were talking about this, how much I like junk mail.
You love junk
I
mail.
I do.
It's actually a law that everyone loves junk mail,
yeah.
Right?
Totally.
No, everyone hates junk mail. So my
Wait, did you just do a bit?
I just did
was
a bit.
Was that a bit?
That was a bit, yeah.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right, cool.
I'm bringing
it. This is like a different show. I'm bringing it. I go away for 1 week and Chad's doing bits.
I'm bringing it. Okay, so my app is called Paper Karma, and it will help you destroy junk mail that you get in your physical mailbox at home. It is completely free, and the name kind of, you know, suggests that you're going to help you know, the environment by getting rid of all this junk mail, all this paper that's not going to arrive at your house. I kind of like it because, you know, I like doing the electronic revolution and using screens instead of actual paper. So how it works is, let me find my product shot, is you load up the app. Sorry, I'm in Twitter here. And what you're going to do is take a photo of your junk mail. So I have right here this thing from Hensel Honda here, and I've actually covered up the address. But all I have to do is take a photo of it, right? So this is some junk mail. We don't want this mail. I'm tired of hearing. Actually, I actually really like this Honda dealer. So truly, they're actually a good Honda dealer. But I don't want to get their mail anymore. So there you go. I've taken the photo. I'm done. What's going to happen is this is going... I'm going to hit unsubscribe me. Here we go. Bam. This is going to get sent to Paper Karma's servers. And either they have a really, really good algorithm to figure out what that junk mail was, or a person actually looks at the mail. And what's going to happen is they will unsubscribe you from that mail. So they'll figure out who it is, who they need to contact, and how to make it so that you will never receive junk mail from these people again. You also get to see a status of what's going on. So over here you can see I've tried to unsubscribe from a few things, and it looks like this Coupon Spree Gold, I have successfully unsubscribed, so I will never receive a junk mail from these people ever again. And you can see I covered up my shipping address. Now, you actually give them your shipping address when you sign up, so they know who you are and who to ask the people that you're unsubscribing from. So this one, successfully unsubscribed. This Red Plum is also successfully unsubscribed. I'll never get that one again. This one failed, and you can really see why it failed when you look at the picture of it. It's just this red. This was actually a GQ letter that they sent me, wanting me to get a new magazine. And so this wasn't enough information for them to go off of to truly unsubscribe me from this service. So sometimes it's not going to be completely accurate. And then same thing with this Cinnabar School. Now then, good thing, a thing to note is that there's two different types of junk mail. There's junk mail where you're on a mailing list from your address being given to the people who have put you on that mailing list. And then there's also a blanket, just sort of, they're going to send mail to everyone in this zip code. The type of junk mail where they just send everything to everyone in a zip code is really hard to get off of. And in fact, there isn't legislation available to remove yourself from that junk mail mailing list. So with that school that you saw, that's a local school. Most likely, there's no way that I'm going to be able to get off that mailing list because they just do a blanket per zip code sort of junk mailing list. But things that you've been given, that you've been put on lists, they will figure out who to contact. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start. Would I send a letter back saying to unsubscribe me? It handles it all for me, and it gives me status updates along the way. So that is Paper Karma, and it is free at the moment in the Google Play Store. It says right here that it's on sale for a limited time for free. So I would say get it now because I'm actually unsure of what the true cost of Paper Karma is, but truly it's invaluable. My mailbox is now less full all the time because of Paper Karma. So that's it.
How long does it take? I guess it's a really hard question to answer. Like, right, how long it takes for you to notice a
difference, or have you been using it long enough to like really notice things cutting back?
Yeah, I've noticed that gold there was a coupon book, and about twice a week I would get that coupon book, and it's big, it's huge, and yeah, I felt horrible about that, and that I'm off, and I haven't seen it since. What'll happen is it'll take about 24 hours for the photo that you send in to process, and then they say it can take up to 2 weeks for the service that you're subscribed to stop sending your mail.
Right. Wow. That's interesting. That's very handy. That's cool. I know exactly which coupon book you're talking about, by the way. And
because you
get it like
too.
Every other day. And I'm like, I just don't need this.
Right.
So I might have to use this. That's cool. Paper Karma. Nice. Thank you. Okay. So that's four very different apps this week. Alarm Clock Ultra. Markers. Fencer. That's right, voice. And Paper Karma. You can vote on your favorite app this week if you go to bit.ly/AAApoll68 and let us know which is your favorite app that we've covered this week.
For the record, I thought Chad did a wonderful job.
Yes.
There you go, Chad.
Yeah, did a great job last week.
Despite the bit, but he came prepared. So I appreciate that effort, and so
I like to
allow it. I know
you're creating the scene.
Yeah.
Because everybody loves junk mail.
What you did was you identified a problem through a humorous kind of like, oh, I hate it when this happens.
Is you know? This you? Yes.
So there you go.
You'd be very good in the late night infomercial circuit,
right?
If there is such a thing.
And Chad is running away with the poll, or I'm sorry, Paper Karma is running away with the poll.
That's right, Ron. Paper Karma. Let's see here.
All right.
Yeah, you're right. 51% right out of the gate.
Chad's got a lot of goodwill. New kid on the block.
Paper Karma because it has a lot of goodwill because it's getting rid of paper.
Wait until you come to the arena with a stinker, my friend.
Wait until you
get one that you think everyone's gonna love.
I'm 2 weeks in, and I'm just my best apps. Like here are my best apps.
Yep. That's usually how it goes. All right. Well, thanks for doing that, Chad. That is it for this week. Are you noticing anything new about your Nexus 7 that you never knew before?
Instagram looks amazing on it. I'm excited. I'm liking photos.
Yeah, because that's a new piece of news. They tweaked their app.
Updated their app. So I'm just like, wow. I had heard that. Which what I was doing. I was downloading. Sorry.
They just
during that. Look at that food. It looks really nice.
It does look nice. It's a great display. It's a great.
Yeah, it is a really nice display. It inspires you to use it more. Yep. You know, just by looking at it.
Okay. So meta, this box and this photo on this device.
All right. Well, Ron, let's start with you. That is it. Go ahead and plug anything you like.
Yes. Go to about.me/RonXO, and there you can find links to all my wonderful little corners of the internet, like on Twitter, Google+, Facebook. I fanboy graphically my day jobs, and all that fun stuff. And yeah, my voice made it, so I'm just proud of that. So
excellent. Good job, voice.
About.me/RonXO.
Yeah. Okay. Eileen, you keep playing with Nexus 7.
I will.
You can find Eileen at about.me/EileenRose. You can find her on Twitter at EileenTV.
Or you can find her in front of her Nexus 7.
Yeah. You might find her posting to Google+ from her Nexus 7, especially in the next 24 hours. That's my guess. And,
yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
And you can find me. Let's have Google now give my outro. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome, right?
You can find me about.me/JasonHowell or on Twitter at Jason Howell. That's it for this week, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Voicemail us, why don't you? 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email with a video mail link or just an email with plain text. We'll accept that too. AAA@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. It's at Android Show. You can always find our show notes. They're plentiful and full at twit.tv/AAA. And you can always catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it. Now suddenly everybody's like showing off their Nexuses, their Nexus 7s and bragging. You can't open it, but I've got a device and Eileen's got a device, so we're going to show it off to you. And hope that you guys get yours soon. Bye.
Flipboard is great.